Well, Joy McClymont is in the studio with me now. Joy's a former teacher. Well, I should say she still is, as she's homeschooling her four children on her farm, Dalkeith Station, which is west of Longreach. The drought, of course, has hit her and her husband pretty hard with all that inevitable destocking of livestock. But a few years ago, after the birth of her first child, Joy started up an online training company of the track training sort. The reasons were varied. To get herself back into training, Joy's a triathlete, to help supplement the income of the farm, but also to connect with people living remotely and to help them keep fit both physically and mentally. And with a natural disaster like this drought, it has such an incredible psychological tug on people. Joy is indeed kicking goals with her online training program, and she's been recognised by the Queensland Rural, Regional and Remote Women's Network for her business. Joy, it's a complete pleasure to have you here on Saturday Extra. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, pleasure, Geraldine.
So tell us about this transition. I've never heard it ever before in rural Australia.
Yeah, I suppose it's just translating something that I'm very passionate about and something that I loved and was a big part of my life and making it a big part of people's lives who live in rural and remote Australia.
So your property, you're a sheep and cattle, aren't you?
Yeah.
And you've got, I think, 32,000 hectare a farm?
29,000 hectares.
29,000. Now, you've obviously got a lot of your identity tied up in the place. Are you come from a big grazing family? Or?
No, not really. It's probably more my husband's identity than mine. I grew up in a small property near Gundawindi. And so farming's always, you know, agriculture's always been in my family, but it's a different kettle of fish in the grazing industry.
So did you decide when you came here that, there is a gym here, I've seen that, and I think there's a pool, isn't there? There's a pool, yeah. But, like, were people just not talking about fitness in the way you were used to, or what?
I think just from where I was living, I was teaching at a small school about 60 kilometres outside of Longreach called Evesham, and it's now closed now. But we had a little community there. I was the teaching principal, and there was a community of women around the school, and we just started off saying, well, why don't we just get together on a Friday afternoon and do some fitness? I'd always been a coach, a swim coach. I'd always been in triathlons, running, all that sort of thing, and aerobics and stuff. So I just started taking these little workout of afternoon for the women around the school. And then when I had my first child and moved to Dalkeith, I thought, for someone who loves exercise, running out here by yourself with no real purpose, no one telling you what to do, no coffee afterwards, was just the toughest thing. And I thought, well, I even like exercise. Imagine what it's like for people who don't even like it.
So this out of this came this germ of an idea.
Yeah, and so I remember running along with my 3,000 bras and, you know, making that post-baby comeback and flies and feeling exceedingly like I had the sloppiest core ever.
Did you have your dog with you or not?
Yeah, and thinking I really badly need to, I need to make myself stimulated and I need to help other people. So that's where off-the-track training came about.
So tell us what it is.
Well, it's a way of helping people learn more about different ways to exercise when they're living in the middle of nowhere. So it's about education. It's about connecting people. So all on a similar plane, they're all living in this lifestyle we have, which is very busy and demanding and challenging. So it's about connecting them, and we do that through training group teleconferences, Facebook groups, email. So it connects people from all over the country. And then we also motivate each other. So there's a bit of accountability to me, so they have to send their training diaries in and get some feedback from me. And they also have to share what they've done and their wins and not so great wins during their weeks of the training program with their fellow participants.
So how long was the training program?
Oh, usually each level goes for 8 weeks, but there's scope for about 24 weeks of training and then 100 days, and there's all different types of programs to suit everybody.
And look, is this a sort of a not-for-profit? I mean, do they pay you a fee for setting all this up? Oh, they pay you a fee. Oh, good. So you're making money.
Yeah, well. So it's a business.
And how many have you signed up?
I think over the time now, it's getting to be around 400-plus people that have done programs.
My goodness. Mm,
but that's over 7 years and in and out of babies. I've got four children under seven. So, you know, between breastfeeding and pregnant and making a comeback and having
washing
this.
Washing the bras.
Yeah. More washing than time. It's been up and down. So it's been good though.
Mainly women or not?
Yeah, mainly women. I could count on one hand the amount of men, but a significant, you know, a significant degree of men that have really taken it on board. So not a number, but those men that have done stuff, it's made a significant difference to them.
So you haven't quite cracked the male market
yet. I'm liaising with the powers that be to see how I can get these males on board.
What a good idea. Mm. Few tummies around the place,
yeah,
dare I say.
A bit of core and stretching wouldn't go astray.
And look, I imagine too that you become privy to some people's very deepest thoughts. I might be wrong, but I mean, do you find yourself actually learning about people's morale more than you might have before?
Yeah, definitely. I look back to those first programs that I wrote and I thought, how ridiculous for me to consider that was even a possibility for them to achieve that. It's not even, you know, and now I structure the program so that it's bang for your buck, time efficient, works with the landscape, works with our lifestyle, and also there is a huge mental capacity in there in the program. Like, there's a huge focus on that. Everyone nearly has somebody that's connected to depression or anxiety in the program or is experiencing that, especially at these challenging times. It's more important than ever.
Yes, look, I mean, I just didn't dwell on this, but, you know, there was that terrible figure of 16 suicides had occurred. Now, every time that I'd read about, every time I put that to everybody here, people said, no, that's not right. Mm. And, you know, there were all sorts of permutations that I understand around suicide. It's a very serious topic. But, I mean, do you feel you've intervened at times to help people? I don't mean necessarily that absolutely at that level, but do you help people?
Well, I think I have a clinical psychologist that actually consults on programs now because of that reason, is we like to keep people safe and we want to be able to pick up on the people that really need it. And with health and fitness, usually they're doing fitness because of that reason, to keep themselves mentally and physically fit. So now I have a clinical psychologist that she gives people practical tasks each week within the program, and also helps me screen people if they need extra advice and support.
Do you find that people do keep going, or do they? They just do little episodic bits of fitness?
They do the program, and then they get lots of ideas about what they actually can do. Because there's, you know, you don't have to go for the flog yourself, run, walk each day. You can actually spice it up a lot. So they're always surprised at what the variety includes, and so they go forth and just do whatever floats their boat. You know, a bit more of this and a bit less of that,
And you use all the implements of the farm, don't you?
Yeah, I just don't want to put pressure on people to buy anything. It's just
so what do you suggest?
Nature going, yeah. And it's not that you have to have farm equipment. Some people don't. They have, you know, dumbbells and things. But I don't want to be one of those people that says, oh, you've got to have the special gear. You can have all the gear and no idea. You've got to, you know, be thinking outside the square a little and think, well, if I need a weight, you know, there's a shed full of metal pipe down there that I could probably use. I don't need to go and buy a $50 dumbbell set.
So where do you see yourself? Can this be expanded? Like, how do you see the fitness and general health levels of people in the district, particularly going through this time?
Well, I want it to be the norm and not the exception. At the moment, it's still the exception to be doing conscious exercise when you live on a property. And I want it to be the norm, no matter what lifestyle or life stage you're in. And secondly, I want it to be able to be accessed by anyone, anywhere. And at the moment, with telecommunications, a lot of my video and support material all needs to be uploaded and downloaded, and it's a huge strain. So I want it to be free from the strains of telecommunications.
Yeah, you all talk to me about telecommunications. Obviously, you grit your teeth.
It's just so frustrating because we can't keep up and remain competitive in a digital world if the speed and capacity of our telecommunications is so third world. They can get mobile phone reception and internet service better in the Gobi Desert than they can in remote Queensland. It is hideous.
Actually, I did notice, did you introduce something overseas? You've been approached, I read, by a snowbound Icelandic customer who found your website and wants to know how to use household furniture. Isn't that hilarious?
Yeah, that was a couple of years ago, and they must have found my blog somewhere, and I couldn't really, you know, it had to be translated, obviously, but I was just going, is this a bug? But no, she was genuine. And I just gave her a little list of things that she could do, bodyweight exercise, the circuit inside. I was envisaging she lived in an igloo, but I don't think she did.
So do you still have any time for the farm?
I'd like to have more, as in, like, if we were producing lots, if we were fully stocked, if we were busy, I probably would have less time for off-the-track training, but still do it. I'd love to be busy on our property, but it just isn't the case at the moment. So I fill the void with this. hopefully one day I can have a good combination of both.
Do you imagine your children might, I mean, this is the big question for the future. Can you see, I know they're only little now, can you see them on the farm in some form or around the district?
I can see them in agriculture or living in a rural landscape. I mean, you don't really know, but I'd love them to be able to appreciate that and to, you know, you don't know what they're going to do in life. But I think that they'll learn a lot from growing up on a place like Dalkeith. And we hope that those things that we can teach them follow them through their lives, the work ethic, the beauty, all of those things.
Mm. Well, look, congratulations, Joy. Everybody told us about you, so obviously you have made quite an impact, and I think there could be quite a few people in the city who might care to.
There has been a couple of Melbourne journos actually do programs recently. So
Melbourne journo, yeah. Oh, you've really cracked that market. Thanks, Joy. I hope to talk to you again.
Thanks, Geraldine.
That's Joy McClymont, cattle and sheep grazer. Isn't she terrific? Owner of Off the Track Training.